AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Kramer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Hello, Martin.
Hello to you, Kalani.
You had a great week. You became a grandfather.
Thanks, yeah. Little Kelly is too beautiful for words.
Congratulations. Congratulations to the Kramer family. And thanks indeed for coming through this morning. Martin, new Canadian platinum contenders are showing huge confidence in South Africa's platinum future, despite the metal's current problems.
Yes, you know, Ivan Platts and also the Platinum Group Metals, both listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange, you know, showing tremendous enthusiasm about their platinum projects in South Africa, despite our labor turmoil here, and particularly Ivan Platts, you know, led by Robert Freeland, who has been so successful in mining in the world, particularly at Voisey's Bay in Canada with nickel, is looking at a wonderful resource, and he's just firmed up more figures on it and put them to the Toronto Stock Exchange. And of course, he wants to really do something that we haven't had in South Africa before. He wants to introduce a totally new mining paradigm where you add industry to it. And so he's looking, though, at a wonderful ore body. I'm sitting here at a table. Normally, the ore body is about as high as the table that I'm sitting around here. His is many times higher than the ceiling. And it's going to go on for hundreds of years. And it's in the Limpopo province. It's in the northern bushveld where Mogalakwena has been so successful. This will be underground. And he's looking at a centralized shaft with 360-degree mechanized mining at about 700 meters deep. And he's saying, look, no one's going to die. And I'm going to train up the people, pay them more. They're going to be more like skilled surgeons than miners. And on surface, we're going to make jewelry. We're going to make catalytic converters. I've got my 18% Japanese partner here, and we're going to show South Africa a totally new paradigm. But then also out on the Western Bushveld, you see a lot of enthusiasm from Platinum Group Metals teaming up there on the Western Bushveld joint venture platinum project, along with Busizwe, which is a fully funded Chinese operation. So despite our turmoil in Chinese, we've got foreign investors looking here with tremendous confidence and getting more and more firming up of figures.
Interesting. Very interesting indeed, Martin. Mine union pioneer, Dr. James Motlatsi, and we've spoken to him so many times here on SAFM. Now, this week he called for radical changes to South Africa's discredited migrant labor system, Martin.
You know, he was the founding COSATU member. He was the first ever president of the National Union Mine Workers, and he still is very close to the mining activity through TEBA, of which he's the executive chairperson. And of course, TEBA serves the mines and the mine workers in the mining communities, as well as in their rural communities, before, during, and after employment. So they're very much locked into the labor scene. And he's saying, look, let's go for a new idea on this terribly difficult issue of migratory labor. You know, we've had this curse for so many years, you know, going back 100 years in mining, and we just haven't actually got close to global best practice. Let's now sit down, work this out, get back to global best practice as far as we can. Obviously, he's rejecting this fly-in, fly-out arrangement because that would just be too impractical for South Africa with such huge volumes of migrant workers in such disparate domiciles. That wouldn't work. But he's saying he believes, and he's coming up with this suggestion, and he's open to a lot of others, but believes we should reach some finality on migrant labor. These migrant workers should be given the opportunity of either bringing their families up to near mine situations. In other words, taking a decision, you're going to urbanize now, you're going to come from the rural areas, and you're going to live close to the mine with your family. Alternatively, if you don't do that, then he feels that they should work on a basis of 4 months on and 2 months off, 4 months on, 2 months off. So it is a very radical thinking arrangement that he's got there. But it's all in the interests of, you know, getting rid of these social evils that were really exacerbated by those living out allowances, which meant that people have a near mine family and they also have a rural family and, you know, never the twain meet.
Right. And then finally, while Australians are succeeding brilliantly, Martin, in making mining and agriculture work together, South Africans remain hesitant in that regard.
The Australians, the New South Wales Minerals Council, has come up with a whole lot of case studies, which really impressed me, because often when we raise this issue of combining mining and agriculture or trying to cooperate in some way that will increase jobs on surface and make use of mine land on surface while others are working underground, we often, you know, don't get any firm decisions. We did have one a long time ago when we had a Canadian who headed gold fields in South Africa, and he set up as a totally separate sustainable development the growing of large long-stemmed big-headed roses out in Carletonville, you know, using mine property, using mine water, and that was a highly successful thing that he's left behind. But other than that, I can't really think of anything that matches the Australians at the moment. If you see these reports coming through, you see that they have really worked well. While coal miners are battling it underground, you know, people are growing olives on the surface, and while other mining activities going on underground, there are vineyards which are not only producing acres and acres of grapes, but also turning those grapes into wine. One of the farms has got about 7 different vintages. So we see that it is possible, and it comes against the background of this New South Wales Minerals Council really promoting mining in the area. In fact, they've just come through a news survey that they've done, which indicates that 96% of people in Australia actually believe that the mining industry is crucially important for the economy. So we don't have that sort of momentum going here. We have a lot of problems in our mining industry. You know, we have problems that are plunging it towards a dangerous tipping point, and we need to reverse that because it is also so important for our economy, and people need to realize that.
Fantastic. Martin Krumah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kalani.